I believe the church of the Lord is being established. Lifted high for the world to see. And in the house he is building on the top of Mount Zion. Jesus included me. I believe the church of the Lord is being established. Lifted high. Jesus included me. Oh, I believe the church of the Lord is being established. Lifted high for the world to see. And in the house that he's building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. I believe the church for the world to see. And in the house that is building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. Only the church of the Lord is being established. Lifted high for the world to see. And in the house that is building on the top of
Oh, man. That's a precious thing. It really is. That he included me, that he did open my eyes to different truths that I've found. And can you put that song back up so I can read it? Because I've never heard it before. But it was saying to keep it, you know, keep your hand on me and take my spirit, you know. And I was just thinking about being in service. You know, he can come and reach out for you, but you can lean away. You know, you can turn away and he can include you all he wants. But if you're not willing to do what he wants and what, you know, his will for you is, then it doesn't matter. He can include you all he wants. But, you know, in my spirit, I want to give that up. I don't want to just stand here. If I can clap, then I need to clap. If I can sing louder, then sing louder, you know. And I just want to do that because I am thankful for where I am and the friends and the family that he has given me. And I have I don't think I've gotten up since we've been married maybe but once. And I just, you know, I've put that off too long. And those songs just, that just really hit me today. So I just had to get up and say, I am glad. I am thankful that I can go out with the Pryors and we have fellowship at dinner. And that, you know, that's amazing that we can sit with any of you. And we can discuss our beliefs and we have that open ability to have fellowship together. And that's tremendous. That's wonderful. And I'm thankful for that. And that touched me more than y'all will know, having that connection. And I just appreciate this church and I appreciate being here.
Exactly what was on my mind during that song that Sister Cindy started with about thank you, Jesus, for including me, because I was thinking about, you know, I didn't choose to walk this way. I was born into this, and, you know, I would say I have a choice, but I don't have a choice because the Lord has touched my life in such a way that I can't give this up. I don't have any other choice but to follow him. And so as I was singing that song, I was looking around and I was thinking, thank you, Lord, for including me. I could walk out and never look back. If he could close my eyes in an instant and I would be blinded. And I was sitting here thinking, and I was just kind of singing the song at first, and it just kind of snapped in me. I was being complacent. I wasn't thanking him. I wasn't being appreciative. And then when I started really thinking about how he included me, how when I started college 2 years ago, there was a period I went through that I did not want to walk through those two doors. And that if it wasn't for the prayers and for the Lord touching my life, I would not have walked back through there. You know, and Brother Phil always talks about that song, Somebody Prayed For Me, and how it really blessed him. And I've been thinking about that this week, that all the prayers that have been laid up for me and for my friends, our other youth, and how blessed we are just to be included. So I don't even know if I'm getting my point across as well as she did, but that's exactly what I was thinking, that I'm so thankful for him including me. I didn't walk in one day and, you know, raise my hand and say, I want to be a member. Can I please be a member? Will y'all vote me in? You know, I didn't do that. I didn't sign an application. Jesus included me. The Lord included me in the body of Christ. Wherever I go in this people, I'm included. Because it's his people. And I'm so thankful for that revelation today that, you know, we can come and we can sit and I can be complacent and I can just say, thank you, Jesus, for including me. And I can clap my hands a little bit. But if I can really get behind that and raise my hands and say, thank you, Lord, for including me tonight, we have a chance. It's another service. It's another chance to thank the Lord and be appreciative for everything, for waking up today. I mean, it's that simple, is thank you, Lord. And I don't know if I'm really getting my point across. I keep repeating the same thing, but I just really am appreciative today. You know, the past semester has been really difficult for me. I was really busy all the time. And, you know, I kind of knew I was taking on that full load with work and everything, and I thought I was ready for it. And if I could go back, I'd probably say, you know, I'll stay at home a little bit longer. But he helped me through it. He helped me through it. And there were times that I thought, you know, well, I'm worn out. I don't feel like going tonight, or I've got this to do and that to do. But you know what? He put it in my mind that if I'll just take a little bit of time, if I'll take an hour out of my Wednesday or my Sunday to come in and just thank you, Lord, for giving me this job. that you gave me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to go to school. Thank you for making it paid for. I don't even pay for it. He opened that door. And for me to put that before him after he gave it to me, you know, and it just really hit home with me recently that I need to give him that honor and that glory and take time that when I am here, when I come to church, I'm here for church. I'm here to worship my Creator, you know, and I'm thankful for that. So that was in my mind as we were singing that I'm so thankful he included me today and from my spirit set me free. It's not somebody else's spirit that's hindering me. It's my spirit, you know, set me free so that I can reach up higher tonight, that maybe we can get a little higher in the Lord tonight, that it's not just, you know, it's not just what routine. It's I want to get higher tonight, and I'm thankful for our vision and where he's brought us.
Song about the church of the Lord, the church of the Lord is being established so many times that it just becomes humdrum. You know, like God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Until you hear those words again and again and again over the years, and they just become words. Just like that song has just kind of become a song sometimes. And Sister Chelsea hears it for the first time, and it's like a revelation. You know, who would have thought? You know, I was thinking the other day about, I was talking to Brother Nathan about the scripture, thy word is a light unto my path. And I think how many times we've heard that, and what do you think? Just words, pretty much. Oh, you read the Bible, it's a light unto thy path. But really, what does it really mean? And I think, I was watching a YouTube video, and I don't know if y'all remember Neil Morse over in Nashville in Cross Plains. And he was being interviewed by, it's probably Rolling Stone magazine or some secular magazine, and he was trying to explain to this magazine why he was a Christian and what, and somehow that scripture came up. And what he was saying is that thy word is a light unto my path. And he said so many people try to use that word as a spotlight, try to look 300 yards down the road, but doesn't light up 300 yards down the road. There's so many paths, so many steps before that. So if you step right in front, only take that one step that you've got lit up right then that lights up the next step. That lights up the next step. And I think about scriptures like that when it's the little things. They say small minds. I must have a small mind. I don't get the big doctrines. I don't get that. You know, I wish I did, but sometimes I don't. But it's the little things that get me from day to day that come up from, you know, when you need it right then, when you're going through something right then. And I was talking to someone earlier about cycles, how everyone goes through cycles. And when you're at the bottom of your cycle, whatever that cycle might be, it might be a 5-minute cycle, it might be a 5-year cycle, but when you catch yourself at the bottom of whatever cycle you're in, your self-esteem is low, everything's low. And everything affects you differently than when you're at the top of that cycle. And I think of how that as a group here, that we're all in different cycles. Sometimes I can be on sitting on the mountain, and it's easy for me to look down on somebody sitting in the valley. Or I can be in the valley, and it's easier for me to envy somebody sitting on the mountain. And I don't realize that wherever I'm at in that cycle it's where I need to be. And it's where my place is to help my brothers and sisters. And I was, you know, just this was interesting. I don't know how it pertains to church, but it pertains to me. I was listening to NPR the other day, and I tend to listen to National Public Radio during the day because it's so far liberal. I kind of like to know what the other side's thinking sometimes. And but they had a really good point there. They talked about when a parent is dealing with adolescence, that you've got a 90-second cycle that if you walk into the room and you say something to your one of your kids like, "Oh, how's it going? Why are you always on my back?" Well, what's your first response? It's to respond. "Oh, you're going to talk to me like that? Well, we'll see how that works." You know, so you can imagine. But they were suggesting, don't back up, but wait 90 seconds. Wait till that 90 second of emotion is over, because you said you have a 90 second wave of emotion that first hits you, whether it's joy, anger, whenever something hits you right off the bat, you've got 90 seconds. And if you catch somebody at the top of that 90 seconds, you're going to say something that's going to escalate it, and they're going to escalate it another 90 seconds, and pretty soon you've got a full-blown, you got a situation on your hands pretty quick. I don't wait. I usually don't wait 90 seconds. I should, but I don't. But I was just thinking how we all, just tonight, that how we all need each other. And sometimes we wonder, I wonder all the time about, why am I here? Sometimes we tend to think it's the, like Brother Brandon was saying, the same old service, same old songs, clap our hands a little bit, But I tell you what, when one of us isn't here, we know it. We know it. I know it. I'm talking about from the smallest. When Nethaniah is not here, I notice. When the crows aren't here, I notice. When Brother Dodson's not here, I notice. It brings the whole service up, and it can bring the whole service down. And the other day I was out making sales calls. Part of my territory is out by the river, and there's a big well-spun plant out there, big pipe manufacturer, and the plant is owned by Indians. And right across the street from the plant, they've got a shrine. It's a Hindu temple. So I've never been in a Hindu temple, so I invited myself in to the Hindu temple. Walked in there about 10 o'clock in the morning. I didn't know the protocol. I just walked in there, and it had this two dolls dressed up in all these flowers and beautiful clothes and this and that. And I'm not making fun of these people, because they have my respect after I talked to them, because they saw that I was in there taking pictures, and they come out of the woodwork quick and told me that I shouldn't be wearing shoes. I had to take my shoes off, which is fine. So I went back and I took my shoes off, went back in, and it'd be easy to, I know it's idolatry. I know that. We walk in there and they wake up every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, compose a set of clothes for these two dolls, Lord Krishna and Lord, a goddess, Vishnu or whatever her name was, and they make these clothes out of fresh flowers every day. They feed them 6 times a day. They bathe them every morning. At 1 o'clock, they blow a conch shell, and they have everybody file in there that every day at noon. And we tend to bellyache having church Wednesday night, Sunday, and Sunday night. But at noon, they come in there. Everybody tells, and to hear this Indian man telling me this about what he loves about the Lord kind of pricked my conscience a little bit. This is a doll. It is. It was two graven images that they dress up once a day, feed them 6 times a day. They close the temple from 1 to 4 to let the Lord sleep. And this is what they do. And it would be easy to sit back and kind of snicker about that, except for it kind of pricked my conscience that if they think that much of a doll, or what they view, maybe the God resides in that doll or whatever they believe, that's fine. But if they think that much, what more should we do on every service when we come in here and God has done so much for us? The testimonies are, I had somebody ask me today if the body believed in miracles. Yes, I've seen, I don't know that we've got to the point that Peter's, our shadow can heal a lame man, but I think we're going back there. I do. I believe that. I believe that. And why are we here? We're striving for that day. And I believe that. And I thank the Lord for everything He's done for me. I mean, it's been, you know, 2013 was a very, very bad year, and it was a very, very good year. And I think the higher the highs get, the lower the lows seem. But I think that the Lord has got great things for us in the future if we'll stay strong. And we don't even know what God has in store for us. It's so easy to look at what we're going through right now and think, this is it. This is it. But we've got such great things going in the future. I know that, you know, we can't see the tribulation of what we're going through. And I may have told this story before, but it means a lot to me because it goes back to the days of Cato. You know, I remember, y'all remember Cato, fell into the pot of soup, burned his face off. Y'all remember, bad. And at the time, did we see any good coming out of that? I didn't see it. I said, God, why would you let this poor, innocent boy fall into a pot of soup, burn his face off to the face, you know, that he had to wear a mask to keep his face from growing, because the scar tissue would grow to the point that his nose and his eyes and his mouth would grow shut. He would smother. So we had to adopt, and no, we didn't, the body did, the church did, and brought him over here. And I don't know if y'all remember how Sister Hodges was to him sometimes. A little bit strict, maybe. A lot. So I used to sneak him out and tell Sister Hodges that I was taking him to prayer meeting on Tuesday nights. And then I'd take him down to Chuck E. Cheese's. And I made him swear, don't you ever tell. Don't you ever tell, that'll be the end of that. Well, never saw the good in it. Just thought it was just one of those things you do. A few years back, about 2 years ago, about midnight, 11 o'clock at night, Joanne had already gone to bed, I started getting a stomach cramp. And the stomach cramp kept growing to the point that I didn't know that I wasn't having a kidney stone, diverticulitis, ruptured colon. I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. Joanne heard me in the living room hollering like 11 o'clock at night, I am not believing this. And she thinks I'm hollering like I usually do at an email or something on YouTube or something like that. So she doesn't even come in there until she comes in there and finds me rolling around on the floor. Wants me to go to the emergency room, as she always does. One time she convinced me to go to the emergency room. I had a leg cramp. And before the whole thing was said and done, I had deep vein thrombosis with a blood clot fixing to break itself clear and make it to my heart and going to kill me. So I go to the emergency room. Guess what they tell me? You got a leg cramp. So I'm not too quick about going to the emergency room anymore. But this night I did. Now, I didn't want to go because it was midnight on a Friday night. And I remember thinking that's when all the drug addicts go, when they're wanting their fix with these undisclosed illnesses. No external injuries. My stomach hurts. Give me some heroin. Give me some Dilata. Give me whatever you got to give me. So I'm not wanting to go because I know that's what they're going to be thinking about me. Well, eventually, it involves me crawling to the car on my hands and knees. So it's pretty certain I need to go. So they get me there, and they give me morphine. That doesn't touch it. They give me Dilata, which is basically synthetic heroin. That touched it. They snaked a tube down my nose all the way down into my through my stomach, trying to find out why, where this pain's coming from. And I didn't care. I mean, I didn't care. You could do anything you wanted. Mama was there. Heard me. I waking up the whole emergency room, hollering and carrying on. And finally, they brought in a surgeon. They had my shirt pulled up, and they were marking on my stomach where they were going to cut me to do exploratory surgery, because MRIs didn't show anything wrong with me. X-rays didn't show anything wrong with me. And in this stupor, I'm laying there, and I can hear Joanne and this surgeon talking, and I didn't care. Cut. Man, I'll give you the knife here. I got one in my pocket, and I have at it. But it dawned on me that I recognized his accent. And I woke up just enough to ask him. I said, are you Haitian? And he goes, well, how'd you know that? I said, well, I've been around Haitians in my church a good bit, and I kind of recognized your accent. His name was Gilbert, G-I-L-B-E-R-T, but it was pronounced Gilbert. He was from Port-au-Prince. And I said, he said, yeah, he is. He was Haitian, he told me. So I said, well, I know the Haitian community is, you know, fairly small. I said, do you know a boy that was brought over here about 20 years ago had fallen into a pot of soup? He said, no, it didn't. I said, are you sure? His name was Cato Hodges, Cato Nord Hodges. And he goes, no, don't remember him. I said, okay. So I went back to thinking whatever I was thinking about, and they went back talking about cutting me. And all of a sudden, he stopped. And he asked me, he goes, you mean Cato from Cincinnati? I said, no, I mean Cato from Little Rock. I said, I know he went to Cincinnati to go to the Burn Institute, the Shriners Burn Institute up there, but he said the only reason I knew that, he came home with a football autographed by Boomer Esiason. And that man got the strangest look on his face. He reached in his wallet and pulled out a picture of him and his wife giving Cato a teddy bear 20 years ago. He said that boy was part of his residency. And he told Joanne, he said, well, I I'll tell you what, since let's put off this surgery. He said, until Sunday, we'll try to pump your stomach and find out what, not your stomach, but your colon and everything else that was, they went in from the top too. But I know what y'all were thinking, but it wasn't true. So, only me, but good Lord. But he said, we're going to try to get that kink out of there, and if we can, we won't operate. And 2 days later, they were sending me home. Never found what was hurting me, never found a thing. And if you'd told me 25 years ago or more that going through, you know, taking some kid to Chuck E. Cheese's was going to keep me from having surgery 25 years later, I said, you're crazy. But I can say that we never know what we're going through. And the things that we put into motion, the things that we may put into motion being here tonight, the things that are said here tonight may not mean anything to anybody. Somebody may get up and talk for 2.5 hours and not mean a thing to anyone here except for one person. And what he says at the when he's sitting down, when he's standing up, when we dismiss a song that's sung, we never know the impact we're having. We never know, and not just here, but that's in our daily lives, and that's part of our witness. You know, many times I think about, you know, what does witnessing mean? You know, what do you think of when you think of witnessing? Going door to door, handing out tracts, come to my church. That's not witnessing. That's sales, maybe. But witnessing is how they see you act every day. And they see how you act when that guy pulls out in front of you. Or down here on Chico where the lane goes from 2 to 1. You let him go? Or you goose it? I goose it. No, usually, as a rule. But I do want to be a witness. I want to be a witness. And I remember, you know, one thing I've always thought about was when Zach was growing up, I remember we lived over here behind the church, and these kids would be playing in the neighborhood, and he never would go invite them to play with him. But what he always did, he got his coolest toys out. Whatever he had, whatever G.I. Joe it was or whatever it was, he'd get it out and kind of nonchalantly start playing with it. And that's what I want to do. I want to show these people my coolest toys. I want to show them what we live for, with the joy we got to get out of it, not the humdrum, not the, you know, I want to show them why we do this. Why? It's not always about the service we're in. The service we're in is about giving God thanks and giving the Lord thanks, but we can do that every day with what we do and how we act to our fellow man. And I'm thankful for this people and what the hope that we have. And sometimes it's when the numbers are small, sometimes it's hard to see that. But then sometimes you go to one of these meetings or you have a service like we had last Sunday, and that was incredible. And then we see that's why we're here. That's why we're here. And I tend to think sometimes that when I used to play a lot more music than I do now, and we played a lot of bluegrass jam sessions and such as that, and you always kind of had the rule of at least 5 to 1. You had the 5 that you hated, then you had the 1, and I won't say hated, they just weren't very good, they weren't inspired, but then you had that 1, out of five that made you think, this is why I do this. This is why I come back. Again, and just because it might, a service might not be your one, it might be somebody else's one. And then if we're there for them, they'll be there for us. And I appreciate the Lord.
Was making that point about the 90-second cycle. It reminded me of a saying that I saw this week, and it's really stuck with me. This is what I'm going to be doing this year, or trying to anyway. Basically, it's just practice the pause. And it says, when you're in doubt, pause. When you're angry, pause. When you're stressed, pause. When you're tired, pause. And when you pause, pray.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God. Feels good here tonight. I'm thankful that the Lord brought me to His people. And, there's a scripture that says, you know, it's not by might, but it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. And Jesus said that no man cometh to the Father except the Spirit of the Lord draw him. And so we know that we're here because the Lord moved on our hearts. Granted, you know, family has factors into that. And acquaintances and friends, I was thinking, I guess it was maybe last night, talking with Gladys, and there was a lady that was instrumental in bringing my family to the body of Christ, and she was involved in home health. Well, I should refer. She was in need of home health care. Her husband was, and so my mother was in home health care, and visited their home and was taking care of this lady's husband. And she got to telling her about the body of Christ, telling my mom about it. So, short side of a long story, we found the body of Christ, and this lady became dear to me. Once I realized where I was very thankful that she was a door for me and for my family. And so, eventually, her age, you know, and health betrayed her, and she ended up in a nursing home. And the Lord laid it on my heart to go visit her at least once a week. And so I would. I'd go. She lived, it was in another town, and I'd go out of my way to go see her. And she would... She'd be laying there in this bed, and she's a frail little thing, bless her heart, you know, and just, I've heard this saying before in my life, how, you know, you can have a weak body but a strong heart, and, you know, I've heard people say it's hard to die. I've heard older people say that before. And I've witnessed it personally. Of course, that's just a reflection of the carnal man that's inside of us. He's, you know, he's not going down without a fight. You can count on that. Strong-willed. So anyway, this sister, she was laying there in the nursing home, and her mind was gone. And she would lay there and just cuss like a sailor. You'd walk past her room and you'd hear the most awful, foul language you'd ever hear in your life. I don't know if that was something that, you know, came up, that she grew up doing, that was something planted in her as a young girl, or if it was something that she was getting from the nursing home staff. I don't know. But you know, I could go in there and I could start singing. I'd do that. I'd just start singing one of our familiar songs. And she'd try to sing with me. And it wouldn't be long, she'd be speaking in an unknown tongue. And the Lord would just fill her. And she'd just lay there and quiver, just being blessed of the Lord, just so simple. You know, God's not complicated. He's really not complicated. It gets complicated. Life gets complicated. Our world's so complicated. You know, everything's digital, this and that. You guys have already heard these stories, and so I'm going to tell you my version. The other night at the house, I hope you don't think less of me when I tell you this. But the other night at the house, I was, I don't know what I was. I came home and I'd been working all day and maybe I'm the only one, but I've got a sweet tooth. And, you know, I feel a bit rewarded whenever I can have a cookie or a piece of cake. You know, I'm like a dog, Fido. Hey, if you put it there in the bowl, I'm going to wag my tail. I'm going to shake your hand. I'm going to lick your face. I want a cookie, a piece. Brother Daniels, I want some Captain Crunch or something. You know. So you know what I'm talking about. So I was working. I was doing something, which I'm always doing. And my kids, I know they get intimidated. My wife, bless her heart, she, you know, it's nothing for me to take over her kitchen table with a project. And so I had it, you know, I had bits and pieces scattered all over the table. And so I asked, I said, has anybody, I said, what are y'all making in there? That was my question. Y'all making a cake or cookies or anything? What are you making in there? Well, they all had their phones and they just ignored me. Like, well, let me see, Dad. Nothing. You know? Do you smell anything? No. You don't smell no apple pies. You don't smell no cobblers, no banana bread. You don't smell none of that stuff, Dad. We're not making anything right now. Okay, everybody put your phones down. That's what I said in my house. So, and everybody look at me. No, I did not say, please get me something sweet. I should have been more specific. I recognize that now. I will be next time. I said, but look, guys, listen, life's so complicated that we don't listen. We just don't listen. I'm guilty, Brother Durham. I'm so involved in what I'm doing that I don't listen. I've mistreated people. because I wasn't listening. I'm sorry for that. God is not complicated if we're listening.
I've been reading and sharing in the book of Acts. And there's a couple points I wanted to point out. Excuse me. When Jesus, in the book of Acts, the first chapter, he told his disciples, he said, after you receive power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, in verse 8, Acts chapter 1. He said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, how that's complicated right there. When that's a torch, you know, that's a spotlight, that's seeing from here beyond the borders of our country to the uttermost parts of the world. That's complicated. You know, that's hard to take in. And the disciples, they didn't approach that. If we're not careful, I'll put myself in this. I will have approached that in, you know, trying to see the whole picture, trying to see everything that's got to be done. I've got to get the Holy Ghost. I've got to get power. I've got to figure out how to witness. I've got to figure out how to communicate to the whole world. I've got to figure out how I'm going to get, you know, from here to the next city and the next country. And you know, if I'm not careful, I've just complicated the whole circumstance. But they didn't do that. In fact, it's interesting to note that they didn't even start seeking the Holy Ghost first. The first thing that they did, and you can read about it there in the book of Acts, is they replaced Judas. That's the first thing they did. And, you know, you'd think that I have a tendency to go for the, you know, hey, let's just go for the grand slam. Let's get the biggest problem, let's get the biggest thing out of the way. Let's get the Holy Ghost. You know, I can just see the disciples all, you know, having a pep rally. Let's get the Holy Ghost, everybody. But it wasn't like that. The first thing that they did is they said, okay, let's sit down and let's replace Judas. And that's what they did. They kept it simple. They knew it needed to be done. It was a matter of responsibility and order. It's just as much a matter of responsibility and order for this church, for somebody to be here in this church and unlock the doors and turn the alarm off, turn the lights on, get the heat and air ready. Those things are just as great a responsibility as it is for somebody to be here ready to strike up the band or to testify or to sing. There's things that have to be done for all of it to be effective. I was reading when I first started messing with the PA system was in Springdale, Brother Maine, and I didn't know anything about the PA system. I'm not sure that I do now, but I was reading, you know, I've said before, everything I know I learned on YouTube. But this time I was reading on a forum, which that's another good place for information. And they were talking about how that most people undervalue the PA system. That they don't realize, most preachers do, and I'm not saying Brother Smith is guilty of this, because he probably understands technology and things that go with it as great as any minister I've ever worked with, except maybe Brother Walker. But they were talking about how that most preachers don't understand that the sound system
what's between the people and the preacher. If the sound isn't working, the people don't hear, or they're hearing fragments. They're hearing and scratching. If they're being distracted by all that, they're not hearing the preaching. And that's the greatest priority. The foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching. The foolishness of preaching. That's how people are saved. It's the little things. It's the simple things. Yes, it's complicated, but it's not complicated when you break it down. Sister Lynette, I really like that. When you break that down into moments where you just pause, okay, what's next? What's the next step? What's the next chain of command? What's the next order? What's in line to be taken care of? And if you don't know, pray. So I was reading over here in the second chapter of Acts, and I just wanted to share this with you. It was important to me. When the disciples, after they had replaced Judas, and they came together, the Bible says that they came together on the day of Pentecost in the first verse. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now that's awesome. I've been in services like that, where the Spirit of the Lord just overwhelms the crowd. And that's fantastic. And Lord, I pray that the Lord would let that happen here. Oh, Jesus. Woo! You know, where it's just divine. It's total divine, heaven sent, inspiration. Power from on high. My God, how we need that. And it said that there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's exciting. It wasn't them. It wasn't, they weren't putting on a show. It wasn't a man's personality. It wasn't a fairy tale. It wasn't some extravaganza. It was just simply the Spirit of God. Woo! Inspiring people. It said that they spoke as the Spirit of the Lord gave them utterance. It's hard to get any more simple than that. It said that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now notice this, it said, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. So I can just picture this. I can just see this setting. Now, I don't know how big Jerusalem was at that time, and perhaps somebody here knows. I should have looked it up, I suppose. But I'm sure it was a city of thousands. So I don't know. I don't know what their housing was like. I mean, can you imagine? Well, just take this building right here, for example. If we thought for a moment that we were going to have 3,000 added to this church next week, we would be looking for a different facility. If we knew that a crowd of people was coming our way, we would be in total panic mode. We would, you know, parking guys, you're on your own. That's right. But they didn't know. So they hadn't, you know, I don't know what their facility was like, but they didn't go out and find a big auditorium or a big, you know, coliseum. They didn't go do that. They were just meeting together in an upper room. 120 people, women and children and men. You know, I don't know how big, you know, it was. I don't know if it was, I suspect, it, given the state of their finances, it was probably a pretty poor neighborhood. It was probably a pretty compact environment. And their world changed just like that. And it said that the multitudes, the people heard it and
They wanted to come and see what the commotion was all about. What in the world? And how did it spread abroad? It wasn't, you know, AT&T, reach out and touch somebody. It wasn't Verizon, can you hear me now? There wasn't email and text and Twitter going out. They weren't telling everybody where they were. How did all those people around that city know about it? Word of mouth. Word of mouth. Again, it doesn't get any more simple than that. If you're listening. It said that there's noise abroad and the multitude came together in the sixth verse and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Now, how hear we, in the eighth verse, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Now, Brother Al, where are you from? You're from Wisconsin. And I venture to guess that if you're in a store somewhere and you hear somebody that's got a little bit of a Wisconsin slang, you almost know it immediately, don't you? Why? Because his ears are listening for it. That's where he's born. He's in tune with that inflection of that word, the draw of that sound. That's where he's from. And what does it do for you? We got a few Texans, you know, in this church. My wife sort of being one of them from by way of Louisiana. And you hear somebody from deep south Texas and put a little inflection on the word lightning. It makes you feel good. You feel like you're at home. You start to feel comfortable around that person. You relax a little bit. You're enjoying the fact that you're hearing somebody. You're hearing something that's familiar, something that touches your heartstrings. It amazes me, and these men were amazed, it amazes me how clever God was. God used something as simple as talking to people in their native born language to influence them. He used something so simple as their native dialect, their native language, to make an impression upon them. Now, I'm not going to go on and read all of it, but some people said, oh, these people, they're just drunk. They're just carrying on, blabbering on, whatever. But there was some of them that said, no, I'm going to tell you what. I heard that man say something to me in my native language, and he was Galilean, and he's not from where I'm from. And I heard him say something, no doubt it was something that gave God praise and glory. That was a witness to that man, and it touched him. Touch that woman. The Bible says, I think it was 3,000 souls were added in the next few days. And then 5,000 were added. I think that's right. Simple. Simple, simple, simple. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. I would like to sing a song. Sister Lynette, you remember us talking about that song? Until you know the loving hand.
If in your lifetime you could meet everybody You could call every name from here to yon. And if you've not come face to face with Jesus and His saving grace, then you've known nothing until you've known God and His love. Until you know that loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you know just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you know nothing. Until you've known the love of God.
Go.
All the world and its money build castles tall enough to reach the sky above. If you could know everything there is yet know nothing until you've known God and His love. Until you've known that loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Castles tall enough to reach the sky above. If you could know everything there is to know about life's game, yet you've known nothing until you've known God and we'll be right back. To know that God is really real.
Brother Brett, you walked into a situation similar to mine. You walked into that temple not knowing anything about it. I walked into this church not knowing, and the Spirit fell on me. There's a big temple in Houston I had a privilege to go to, but all the way from here to there, I was indoctrinated. Do's and don'ts and whatever. It was a lot simpler, but it looked like I had been shipped to India. So I can about imagine what you walked into. It was quite different. But when I walked into here, the Spirit fell on me. And I'd been shopping for churches. You know, it's like, you know, you men are mission people. You got one thing in mind, and you continue to look for it until you find it. I was shopping for the church that I needed to find God in because he had showed it to me when he gave me the Holy Ghost. Well, I recognized the church from the outside, but I didn't realize what I would feel once I entered those doors. And the Spirit that filled me, I knew at the moment that this is it. This is where the Lord would have me. And keeps me fed. There's times when I come and go, not by my choice. If I had my choice, I would be here continually. And I know at times when you lived behind the church, it was a bit of annoyance. I'd come knock on your door, ask for the key so I could do something, that you had no privacy. And I think of the privilege that you had to live this close. This just to be here for services is such a great privilege. If it was possible to come and go on a daily basis, there would probably be, well, people coming and go out of here just like, and it would, in this day and time, it would be not safe or healthy. But it would be, you know, to come in and have a little prayer and then going about your way or on about your day. And like some churches, they show that, you know, are always open. And people come and go. And they worship however they want. But it's such a blessing that this is all set up on the internet now. All I've got to do is turn on my computer and listen to any service. There's been times when I've been so filled with the Spirit by what was being preached at the time. And especially when I wasn't here and able to join in and enjoy. We have got what the world wants. You can't buy it, although you can buy it, but you got to sell out to have it. I like to feel I sold out, because when I'm not here, this is what I think of, and I try to, well, I've been gone for a few weeks visiting my son, catching up on 30 some odd years of life that him and I have missed. And when I left, he says, will you give me your password on your website? And I says, no, I'll just leave it open to you. He heard a little bit, and he liked it. And he's a man that's been down a pretty dusty road, more so than myself. And I think the Lord is dealing with him. And he asked me to be put on the prayer list. And I'm asking that everybody keep him on their hearts. He is under great strain and stress, but I'm sure there's great hope for him. God can deal with anybody and everybody. God bless you all, my brothers and sisters. I love you all.
This too. I'm thankful that God added me. And been working on this, and I appreciate these testimonies, and the preachings, and the songs so much. They're encouraging to all of us. It's going to help us on the road, get us a little bit further down. Aren't you glad for the body of Christ? I am. I'm thankful for His people that have this message of charity, that God's putting it down in our heart, and it's showing forth in our life to our families and friends, and even those we don't even know, those about us are feeling God work in our life. I'm thankful for that, and Brother Wallace, we'll pray for your son. Maybe we can put him up there on that prayer list, even, you know. Just might want to talk to Brother Painter, somebody, and they can put it up there, and it's done. Brother Painter said it's done. All right, good. That's quick. Let's continue to pray for Brother Smith. God would touch him. And, Brother Wallace. Your wife injured herself, okay? All right. Well, let's pray for Sister Wallace and all these other prayer requests. Let's just pray for one another throughout the week. You may not know what the need is, but just mention the person's name. They may not have a need. They may need a blessing. Let's pray for one another. And I appreciate everybody getting up and working in the service like they have. It's been a good service. It's a good feeling. It's a kind of service where you could just keep listening to these testimonies and stay encouraged all day. Take these things and let's be a clean animal and let's let these thoughts and these words and these feelings go down into our heart and we'll digest them. We'll move them around and they'll bear fruit. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for this service. Let's stand and let's thank the Lord for the way He's helped us. We've had a good weekend, haven't we? Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for your goodness. God, for your mercy. Lord, we're so thankful, God, that you've touched us here today, this weekend, God, and in your word and with your spirit and with your encouragement. God, put your people on our heart. God, bring it to our remembrance and to our mind. Pray for all these things throughout the week, Lord. Bring them up before you and before your throne, God, and then go witness. Help us to be a witness before this world, God. Glory to God. Go with us this week, Lord. Cover us, guide us, lead us, and protect us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. All right, shake somebody's hands. Go out in the world and make a friend.